columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Sing a song for the broken
hearted. You know, I saw a... This is pretty funny. Kyle Clark retweeted it. There's a station in, I believe, Wisconsin, and a news station, and they were just doing, all right, many of you want to know what day it is, so let's find out what today is. John? And they go over to John at, like, the weather board, and John goes, today is Wednesday. Back to you. Thank you, John. Today is Wednesday. And sometimes it can feel like that in these situations, but we have the foolishness of sports to distract us to a certain degree, and this may be one of the most ridiculous situations of all time. Go ahead, Kevin.
Here's the 0-1 on the way. Jose Altuve hits one into the bullpen in left center field.
I'm really sorry about the choices.
We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans.
Hey, Altuve!
We have a Houston Astros update. How do you like this one? AJ Hinch, former Astros manager and ex-Astros general manager, Jeff Lunau, however you say his name, will fulfill their one-year suspensions for the scandal, even if no baseball is being played. How about that one? Think baseball's getting this one wrong? Sources have told Buster Olney that because the suspensions are tied to the end of the 2020 postseason, rather than a specific number of games, MLB will view this as time served. You have got to be kidding me. So these two dudes that were the head of the snake, at least they were the ones in charge while this was going on, are going to serve time in suspension when nothing's happening. Everybody is then, I guess, serving some sort of suspension right now. You have got to be kidding me, baseball, that you're just going to let these dudes get by on that. Amazing. Unbelievable. So, the Houston Astros and Major League Baseball. First of all, it's crazy that, you know, this is it, that there's no other real consequence for the Astros. And now we find out the dudes that they did suspend, this is all counting as time served. Yeah, today would have been opening day. Oh, they got suspended. They didn't participate. Well, nobody participated. How can it be any kind of consequence? And why isn't it tied into a certain amount of games? You certainly didn't know when you suspended them for a year. It was absolutely assuming a year was 162 games. I mean, it's a year is 162 regular season games and the playoffs. Period. You know, let's have some common sense here, baseball, and figure things out and realize that you've already had a pretty weak consequence, and now these guys really don't get any punishment at all? Remarkable. Congratulations, baseball. Just when you thought you couldn't screw it up anymore, you figure that one out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our main man, Cecil Lammy, as we dig into the week that was and should Justin Jefferson be a name that we're talking about more? And who's out there in terms of offensive line? And is Kliss right? Could they actually take a cornerback? We'll go draft heavy with Cecil Lammy next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, one of the cool things that we can do from working from home is we can reach out to our other fan hosts who are doing the same. Not everybody is. Some people are coming into the studio, but we have all the shows split up. And somebody who has been broadcasting from home, just like me, is our main man, Cecil Lammy. Cecil, good afternoon. How are you?
When you work from home, you're always at work. So I'm here for you, baby.
What have you been spending your day doing today as you're going through draft prep stuff? What are you looking at?
Yeah, and I just got done looking at defensive ends and outside linebackers, just kind of pass rushers, edge rushers, if you will. So just going through, writing up my series of Market Watch, Broncos fits, and sleepers for the NFL draft. Got a few more positions left. So just catching up on that. Going back through, going over the rookie scouting portfolio was just released on the 1st, and that's written by Matt Waldman. It's 1,100 pages on skill position players. Yikes. It's one of the only other draft guys that I listen to, because I don't want anyone to, paint a different picture for me if I'm listening to somebody else. I go on the road, I go to all these games, I go to pro days when that was a thing, and then I write up my own reports. Well, once that's done, it's more just dotting the I's, crossing the T's. And then for the people that I really respect, Dane Brugler from The Athletic, probably the best draft analyst there is, in my opinion, Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio. I'll go over those guys' notes and go over their draft guides and see what they're saying and kind of compare and say, hey, I like this, or we're off on this. So it's kind of a fun time of year.
We were doing a comparison earlier in the show, and one name that popped up was Ezra Cleveland.
Yes.
But another name that has come up is Lucas Niang. N-I-A-N-G.
Oh, yeah.
Can you compare and contrast those two players?
Well, I'm part of the Nang Gang. I just want everyone to know that. Ezra Cleveland to me is... I have a second-round grade on him. I understand that he's getting first-round buzz, and I do believe it's real. I know that April is the month of lies, and it's April, so guess when we started hearing the Ezra Cleveland stuff? In April. But just knowing the people that are reporting this, like Tony Pauline from Pro Football Network, is a good friend of mine, I know that buzz, I know who he's talking to, so I know that buzz is real. Nang, to me, is a better player because he is so powerful. And it's not like Cleveland isn't powerful either, but he's more of a technician. He's more technically sound. Lucas Niang, to me, is one of those guys that is what scouts call a dancing bear. Right? So he's huge, he's agile, he understands leverage, he can push around guys, he's 6'6", 315, so I love that size. I love the upside there. And Cleveland's, 6'6", 311, so the size difference isn't that drastic in terms of weight, but you have a guy with better strength than Lucas Niang. So I'm one of the Niang gang. If you wait till the second round, I would recommend him as a player for the Broncos to consider.
Would you choose him if it's the second round?
Yeah,
and it was a choice between Cleveland and Yang. Would you go with Yang?
I would go with Yang. I kind of get.
Would you
set.
Go with? All right. Would you go with Yang or Austin Jackson?
Oh boy, I think Austin Jackson's his own guy, honestly. And this is a power gap system now. If this was the old system, then you'd want that athleticism like an Austin Jackson, who I don't think – I'm not as high on him as let's say, Tyler was, because Tyler had him, as a possibility for the Broncos at 15. I see him more as a second-round pick as well. I want that power. That's where the Niang gang comes through for me. I want that power in a power gap Pat Shurmur system.
Niang or Josh Jones?
Probably Josh Jones. Probably. Okay. It breaks my heart, but Josh Jones.
Josh Jones is a late first-round projection. But
he should be.
So was Dalton Risner.
Right.
And those guys often do slip into the second round.
Well, and we also saw that we had a bump for Josh Jones. All of a sudden, everyone starts talking about him. We've been talking about him on these airwaves since December. But once he had that big Senior Bowl, it was like, oh, my God. Then there were mocks where he's like in the top 10. I was just laughing. I'm like, no, please. I understand what everybody's trying to sell vacuum cleaners with the mock drafts. But please, for the love of God, Josh Jones is a late first, early second round pick. That's where he should be graded. Maybe somebody reaches. Maybe there's a run on tackles in the first round, and, you know, Jackson's in the first round, and Jones is in the first round. I could see that, but with so many wide receivers, so many other positions in this draft, it's going to be, you're going to have value fall. You're going to have a Reisner-type guy fall. The Broncos have to be ready in case they don't go O-line in the first round.
All right, Mike Kliss was freaking us out because he was like, you know, it could be a cornerback at 15, which would be C.J. Henderson. And I'm just like, I will just lose it. I will lose it if they go cornerback. I will not understand what their thought process is. I won't understand what they're doing. I will be apoplectic, Cecil, if it's – and I'm not saying C.J. Henderson isn't a good player, but I will not understand the plan. I will be so confused by the plan if that happens. Am I missing something there?
No, it better be inside linebacker, offensive line. I think that wide receiver talk, which we've all been a part of, right? It's super exciting. Henry Ruggs, whatever. Like, that's dead. I think that's done. I think
really?
That's really – I think it's passé, honestly. Just kind of the buzz that you pick up on, right? When you listen to the Mike Klisses and you have little birdies and you listen to the D-Max, like
– Well, don't listen to me on that. I got nothing on that. If you got something, that's better than I have on that.
Well, I will say this. I think wide receiver is further down the list than some fans want because they want Henry Ruggs and they want that. Look at Shurmur's offense, dude. You know this. You've seen the numbers. Shurmur's second receiver gets like 40 catches.
Mm.
Noah Fant can do that, and Noah Fant can be the second receiver. Mm. Your third receiver in the passing game, and then the running back's going to catch, you know, 70 passes. Probably going to be Melvin Gordon that does that. I mean, but, you know, is Shurmur going to change his stripes? No, he's going to be the coach that he's always been, whether it was with the Rams or with the Browns or with the Vikings or with the Giants. He's going to be that guy. So when you look at him as that guy, your second receiver in this offense doesn't do a whole lot. Inside linebacker and offensive line are the best choices at 15.
And do you like Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen better?
Murray, because you need a thumper. And Queen is a very good – here's the problem with Queen in my eyes, because not every short linebacker is London Fletcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked plenty of, you know, Devin White, Devin Bush last year, all that kind of stuff. When you have a smaller linebacker that is a great tackler, that's when the London Fletcher, the Sam Mills, God rest his souls, that's when those comparisons come through. I don't see that with Queen. Queen is a, you know, super athletic safety playing linebacker. Kenneth Murray is a guy who is a thumper, and he's got coverage ability. He's a little rougher around the edges in coverage, but the athleticism is there for him to be taught in a zone system, you know, where he can keep up or harass these tight ends. Plus, he's 2 inches taller, and that may not sound like a lot, but that length, that added length that he has that you don't see with Queen, I think could be all the room you need when you're going up against big tight ends like Hunter Henry, Darren Waller, and Travis Kelce.
Okay, I was, you know, one of our listeners on Twitter turned me on to, and I know it's out there, the mock draft simulator. Do you ever play around with that mock draft simulator?
Oh, that's from the Draft Network, right? Those guys do really good work. Yeah, I run into those guys on the road. They're really good. They're a, you know, good young group of guys, and they put in a lot of effort. So,
dude, it's
I
fun.
Like those guys.
It's fun to do because, you know, everybody is pretty versed on the first round guys.
Yeah.
And even the second round you become okay with. But it's those deeper rounds that are so important that it's kind of hard to just figure things out. And there's not a lot of deeper mocks and who's going to be around. So I was playing around with the mock draft simulator earlier today. And the first couple rounds, nothing all that interesting. But one name that kept popping up that I think is a position of need for the Broncos, and it came up like 4 different times.
Okay.
Okay. Noah, and I'm going to blow it, but I'll try. Iggy. The cornerback from Auburn. What can you tell me about Iggy from Auburn?
A third round grade, basically, is what I've got on him. And he's a guy that was a receiver. So all of a sudden, even though he only had one interception over the last 2 years, you see a guy that has that, you know, kind of ball tracking ability. So when you have a receiver turn corner, usually I mean the guy drops some passes along the way, and you want him to be more of a ball hawk. It's kind of unusual that he's not being a converted receiver. His ball skills, though, are put him on the map for me and as a third round player. Not as big as you want, 5'10", 198.
Okay.
But he's got physicality. So he's one of those kind of smaller corners, but he's ferocious and tenacious. I like him as a third round pick.
Well, that's where they have him. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And it came up like 4 different times. Iggy came up 4 different times in a row. in the third round. Like, he's right there. And the Broncos have, right now, 3 third-round picks. We'll see where that lasts. And, you know, just when I see a name over and over and over again, it, you know, makes me a little bit curious. By the way, I'll tell you this, too. Now, you know what? Oh, what should I do?
Well, you want to know the best thing about Iggy?
What? Yeah.
Both of his parents are Olympians.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Both of his parents. Now, it was a 4.48 40 at the combine, but his mother, Faith, medaled in Nigeria in the 1992 400-meter relay. And Noah excelled in track and field in his time. So, yeah.
Wow.
Both his parents are Olympians. So, there
you
go.
That's pretty cool. I got another guy who's come up, and I always have to watch out for my bias because I'm I'm biased. But I'm telling you, if you want to look at a – everybody's in love in this whole Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon debate, mm-hmm. and people are just like, oh, you know, they people are apoplectic when I'm suggesting they should trade Philip Lindsay. And maybe we can dig into that in a little bit. I got a dude, Eno Benjamin, out of Arizona State. Eno Benjamin. And most people have probably never heard of this dude, but he's going to be their cease in the fifth or sixth round. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for a guy that can do ultimately the same things as Philip Lindsay, Eno Benjamin can do that.
Yeah, and you've got a couple of different backs like that. I've got Anthony McFarland is kind of my favorite smaller back. And by the way, Benjamin's 207, so he's really compact. So, you know, he's not necessarily like Philip Lindsay because Philip Lindsay's like a buck 85, buck 90.
Right. I tell you what, we need time.
Okay.
Let's take a break. We'll bring it up in the top six, and we got more time. Cecil joining us on a Friday night on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 104.3thefan.com.